آمين. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن سن سنته إلى يوم الدين. Please brothers, those who need to enter the class with us, inshallah, step forward.
I'm
going to ask you to sign. So, you want to wait? Alhamdulillah, yesterday we cleared the idea of some mistakes Muslim could fail in the Hajj yesterday. When we said yesterday that the Muslim, they need to understand that mistakes in the Hajj could cost you to pay penalty for that. And the penalty is to sacrifice animal for every single mistake. Yesterday we thought and said that the fard, the farida, to avoid any trouble in the Hajj or to cause any harm for the brothers and sisters in Islam. And from that meaning also, today we have like some points we need to clear it. For those who perform Hajj before or those who intend to make Hajj in order to avoid this problem. We found in Haram Sharif that the Muslim, when they pray in the Haram Sharif, you find sometimes a woman pray in the front of you. Or a woman pray next to you. And as you know in Islam, the Muslim, it's forbidden for the Muslim to pray on the same line with the woman. So you look to the right side, you find a woman next to you. You look to the left side, you find a woman next to you. Sometimes just in the front row or the front line, you find a woman prostrate in the front of you. In the Haram Sharif, in the holy place in Mecca. And we say that. We understood it's too crowded. We understand that we cannot do anything with it. Because you cannot put the line in the same line, men and women to be in the same. Some of the ulama that said it's the exception. When you pray in the Haram Sharif because nobody could control it. But we found actually the people there, those who work in the Haram Sharif, in the holy place, they always instruct the men to go one side, and the woman also instructs the woman to go on a different side. But everybody are worried too much to lose his wife. If you're losing your wife in that, and sometimes she cannot go to the hotel by herself. So try as much as you could, inshallah ta'ala. If you find yourself as a man, praying and in front of you a woman, try to avoid that. And if you give nasiha, beautiful nasiha, to the brother who are with her or something like that, to stay with the woman because they make affection for the woman especially. But the people doesn't like to cooperate, people doesn't like to go in this area, and you could agree together between you and your wife, stay at this column, and then when I finish the salah, I'm gonna come over to take you again to the hotel. I remember now the Hajj, alhamdulillah, they make it easy for the people. They give everybody like something, the hotel and where the hotel is and the mutawaf number. So it's easy for anyone who lost the hotel or lost in the Haram Sharif to come to anyone of those who serve in the Haram, tell him, I am lost my husband, I lost my brother, whatever it is, I lost my son. And if they can die here, they take her by car and they send her to the hotel. It's not a problem now. Before, yes, we could lose, because I remember personally, before they make this idea and to give everybody his name and his address and the number of the mutawaf, they used to, actually, one of the brothers was with us with Hajj, he spent one day to look for where is his wife. He looked for his wife, subhanAllah. But we try to avoid. If you find yourself as much as you can, you could. You find a woman in front of you, you know you are not allowed to pray, and there is a woman in front of you. To go in another place, if you accept the advice from you, that's fine. They don't try to find another place because they are not allowed to pray, and there is a woman in front of you. And this is the first correction we need to go, inshallah ta'ala. And not to say, of course, a woman next to me and I pray in the same line is not working. The problem, most of the Muslims, they have no idea, have no knowledge. That's why they found themselves, and they remember guidance or to ask is very difficult there. But for those who are willing to perform right Hajj, they have to avoid all this. Alhamdulillah. Bye. Number two. Sometimes you find the Muslim praying in a certain area and is not allowed to pray in this area. For example, the whole way of the haram. You must learn and you respect all the brothers and sisters, those who enter from all corners of life. Sometimes we enter at the door, the people praying at the door. You cannot even, and you know, you cannot pass from the front of any Muslim. You have to have every person has to have a sutra. And the sutra is equal to one arm. You're not going to make reservation for the house, half of the masjid for sutra. But the sutra will be equal to one arm. Anybody that by after the one arm, that means fine. You don't have to do anything. It's better for every Muslim to put a sutra, partition, while he's praying, because you don't want anybody violate. But to find the people that by from the front of you. What about if somebody that by and equal to one arm, what you should do? You should stop it, because there is a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, if anyone that by between your hands, alright, you have to stop him. And if he insisted to that, you should fight him. You should fight him. فَإِنَّهُ شَيْطَان. Verily he is the shaitan, the one who insists to that. Before, in the front of the musalli, the one who pray, it's very, very, and sometimes woman, and you know, woman when she back by from the front of any Muslim male who praying, it's violate, it's breaking your salah. You must find a sutra, or anybody like to write to you, have to put your hand like this. If he insisted to that, you must fight. You stop him by force. That's what we learned from the Prophet ﷺ, because verily, he is the shaitan, the one who intended to break your salah, and that's why between your hands. That's number one. Number two. We find some people after the Hajar, when they reach the Hajar, Al-Hajar Aswad, the black stone. People kiss it, alhamdulillah, Allah help them. They fight, some of them fight, in order to kiss Al-Hajar Aswad, and the Prophet ﷺ said, don't fight for it. لا تتقاتلوا على الحجر. You don't fight for it to kiss it. If Allah make it easy for you, alhamdulillah. If Allah doesn't make it easy for you and you touch it or you kiss it, from far equal to, you raise your hand and say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And you continue. Bismillah, Allah, and you going to bow your hand like this, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. That is the sunnah of the Prophet. That's what he teaches us, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So don't fight, don't stand up around the Hajar. Came to Ar-Rukn al-Yamani. You know Al-Ka'bah has four corners. Two corners call it Rukn al-Yamani. Rukn al-Yamani East and Rukn al-Yamani West. Why they call it Rukn al-Yamani? Yamani came from Yemen. Because these two corners of the Ka'bah toward to Yemen. And the other one in that toward to Iraq. So Ar-Rukn al-Yamani from the Sunnah, as the Prophet ﷺ teach us عن أبي ذر الغفاري رضي الله عنه وأرضاه وابن عباس رضو الله عليهما وجابر رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. So the word the Prophet ﷺ, they learn from the Prophet ﷺ, very important. It is the corner of the Kaaba. This is the Kaaba here. This is two rukn here, rukn yamani. In this side here, in this side here, rukn yamani, that's the one which closer to the al-hajar al-aswad. Rukn yamani here, the first rukn you pass by, you know the Kaaba all the time, When you make in tawaf, you make the Kaaba in your right or in your left?
Right.
Huh? Not in your right?
No.
When you go for tawaf, you make the Kaaba all the time in your left side. Remember that. Whoever make the right, that means you go the other side. When you go, you start, there is the Rukn al-Yaman here, and that's why the Saudi government, they make like a green column to start from this area, because the property starts from a Rukn al-Yaman here. It's from the Kaaba, when يستلم الكعبة. He is to يستلم الركن اليماني. What يستلم الركن اليماني? When he came to this الركن اليماني, the corner of يماني, which towards the Yemen, what did he do? He used to touch it by the right hand. And he said, بسم الله, الله أكبر. So you started from the الركن اليماني here, the corner of the يماني, and then you started on the Prophet ﷺ used to start and say Bismillah Allahu Akbar. Then after that, the Kaaba, the Hajar al-Aswad, you'll find Hajar al-Aswad. If you come to Al-Hajar, it's easy for you, go and kitab, because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever touched or whoever kitab, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forbid the hellfire to touch his body. From Al-Hajar al-Aswad. This is from the Jannah, you know that. So, what about if I cannot? We found a people here violation. And this is bid'ah. They come to Ar-Rukn al-Yamani, the corner of Yamani, and they start to stand up and they kiss it. They start up and they kiss it. This is not from the Sunnah at all. The only thing you kiss it is what? Al-Hajr al-Aswad. If you are not able to touch Al-Hajr al-Aswad, what you should do? From far, and you said what? Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you start your prayer before the tawaf, inshaAllah ta'ala. But we have here a destination before, between Ar-Rukn al-Yamani, the corner al-Yamani, and Al-Hajar al-Aswad, there is a place. The Prophet teach us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say, what did he say? Anybody remember to say? A dua. To say a dua. رَبِّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That means actually you said like this. What about if I don't touch Ar-Rukn al-Yamani, the corner of Yamani here, what we have to do? And I'm so far from it. We find some people in violation, and when they reach Ar-Rukn al-Yamani, they said, they kiss it like this. We are not actually meeting your wife or something like this. There is nothing like this to kiss it or something from far. The only thing actually, you do, can I raise my hand when I reach Ar-Rukn al-Yamani? No, the answer is no. Only you raise your hand in one position. What is the position is? Al-Hajar al-Aswad only. But if you able to be closer to the Rukn al-Yamani, the corner which is toward to the Yaman, you touch it by the right hand, you say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and between this Rukn al-Yamani and the Hajar al-Aswad, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So that is actually the sunnah. You don't get it from far, or you raise your hand even from far to Ar-Rukn al-Yamani. You raise your hand only in one position, inshallah ta'ala. So this is another violation. Muslim, they also fail in this, and وَلَا حَوْلَ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. طيب. Number two, the next one. You find Muslim in a Kaaba. Demonstrations. Everybody has a book in his hand, and he has a group of people. Rabbana, Atina, Fi dunya, Hatana. Demonstration. Everybody has a group of people, and to go all around. And this is being group, and this is violates, ya akhi, there is no. And right away, people, those who make tijara around the Kaaba, the stores outside, they sell some books. And they tell you this is dua, and the brother doesn't speak Arabic. He doesn't know what's going on. Sometimes they translate by Urdu, by Farsi, by any language, by French, by Spanish, whatever it is. And you find they start, everybody starts even, say, you find group here say by Arabic. The group here say by Farsi. The group here said by Urdu. The group, subhanAllah, everybody, if this is dua, this dua, it's from the sunnah, la ya akhi. There is no any certain dua at all, it's been prescribed, because book followed by dua. to bring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is one of the prisoners, of course, what I'm going to do, I don't speak Arabic, ya akhi. I don't speak Arabic. I am speaking different language. What I have to say, that's why we need somebody, sometimes they hire somebody, and to lead them in dua, and to say this dua, and they repeat it. And the people, think about it a little bit. Think about it. How come you say Ameen, and you don't understand what he says? Think about it. Somebody say by dua, by Arabic. You don't know what's Arabic. You don't know what's dua. And he says Ameen. Subhanallah. Ya Ahi, then whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you to say, that's all. Remember your language. Who teaches you the language, ya Ahi?
Allah.
Who teaches the old language, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's not necessity to be by Arabic. But there is a certain dua. Every Muslim should memorize it. Like Rabbana, atina fi dunya hasana, wa fi al-akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban-nar. Very simple. I could memorize it. It will be difficult for me, I think actually, if you are professional in your job, and they give you programming, actually programming with a different language, or a very difficult language, I think you memorize it, and it will be easy for you. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you certain dua, for example, to say it, inshallah. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. You don't have to translate it to say, by the name of Allah, exactly the most gracious, the most righteous. It's Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Memorize it. But if there is any dua, written dua, specific dua, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing. All this book is for business, for tijara. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind you that time, say. Because Allah accepted the dua from those who are sincere. Sometimes they say Ameen and the dua doesn't go in the heart. The dua should become from your heart sincerely to Allah. Allah will accept it from you, inshallah. There is no in a book actually for dua or a certain dua or to make a revolution around that haram. Rabbana atina and everybody. And we find the woman too, Allah, woman. Same thing for women. They raise their voice also, the woman. Rabbana atina, and the woman, subhanallah. And the woman is not allowed actually to raise her voice. This is not allowed, this is a violation. We have to fear Allah Ta'ala in order to inshaAllah ta'ala. And remember, at tawaf, to go around tawaf. You should be in wudu or without wudu. Somebody makes six times, tawaf. And then after that, in the number seven, in half of number to complete, before he completes seven, he lost his wudu. What he should do? I meet somebody about haram, they say, Yaakhi, Allah Ghafoor Raheem. Because I ask him, it depends how much. If you are closer to number seven, Allah will forgive you. SubhanAllah, where does that come from? If you're losing your wudu and you have couple of inches, in order to complete it, because you're going to start with Al-Hajar and you're going to end with Al-Hajar Aswad from the black hole. So you must start from there and you end, you complete it to reach it. And inshallah, easy without fighting, because the problem, those people who are inside and when they want to come outside, they fight in order to come out, especially those who have women with them. So remember again that you are not going to fight. And then after that, you must be in full wudu. So you're easy, you go outside and go and renew your wudu. And when you come back, you start from the beginning or from the way you end? Beginning? From the place you end. There is a different opinion from the ulama. I said you start if you complete six. And you start the number seven, you start the seven again from the beginning. And another ulama, they said, no, you start from the place you lost your wudu and then continue. Even if you have like 100 feet to continue number seven, you start from this place and order after you renew your wudu and you come. What about sa'i between Safa and Marwa? I make like five times sa'i. And I lost my wudu. What shall I do? To make wudu? No. The answer, sa'i between Safa and Marwa is not necessary to do in wudu. It's without wudu, that's what we learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tawaf in the Kaaba is ibadah, it's kind of worship. Safa and Marwa, it is actually, he does not necessitate to be in wudu. That is according to majority of the order, inshallah. You're losing your wudu, there's nothing wrong. Complete the Safa and Marwa, and this, inshallah, your sa'i will be right, inshallah. A lot of people, they understand. In Safa and Marwa, some people, women, they thought when husband between the two green lines, that is the area which Shahada alayhi salam, she used to run between this area, so became sunnah. Our sunnah for Hajj is observed from Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim, all the manasik which is we learned it from the Hajj, it come from Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hadrat Hajar, his wife. So remember, between these two columns, only who supposed to run, who's for jogging. Not on
men.
Women, she has to walk regularly, inshallah ta'ala, and nothing going with it. If I get tired between the Safa and Marwa, some people, they have disease, heart disease, or in heart, you find them, they give themselves pressure to continue. La ya akhi. Any time you feel you are tired between, because Safa and Marwa is more difficult more than the Kaaba, because it's a long distance, about one mile, I believe, each. From Safa and Marwa is 1 mile, and from Marwa to Safa is another mile. So it's a long distance. So if you get tired, sit down until, alhamdulillah, you get feel okay, and then continue, nothing wrong with it, inshallah ta'ala. This is between Safa and Marwa, but the condition is, Kaaba, remember, around the Kaaba, it is the kind like you are in Salah. I meet somebody actually with my Hajj, and I meet somebody. He was next to me. And he meet a very famous actor back to my country. And the actor, he making tawaf also around the Kaaba. He was next to me, I didn't realize. And who is him? Subhanallah, la hawla illa billah. And then after that, I found somebody also from the same country saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, where are you? Mr. So-and-so, and he named him. And then after he done, you know, the last movie for you, I like it too much. And could you please sign for me the autograph in the Kaaba? In the Kaaba, you are not allowed to speak about the dunya. Your tawaf should be read to Ya Sheikh Muhammad, Zikr Allah Azza wa Jal. If I know I don't exactly finish the Zikr, what you have to do? Read Al-Quran, recite Al-Quran, open the Quran and read it. You understand? Making zikr, making istaghfirullah al-azim, everything is possible, inshallah, you're going to have the reward for any condition you are, as soon you are in zikr. Zikrullah azza wa jalla, to mubarak Allah, read Al-Quran, whatever, and you speak about the hair akhbar. You pray to Allah ta'ala to forgive your sins. Other way, you cannot speak about the dunya. You know, somebody speak with his wife, you know, actually, what we have to eat after we finish this, you know? There is somebody around the Kaaba, he sent a very nice chicken, it's delicious, I ate it yesterday, ya akhi. You need to catch chance for every single moment to pray to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all your sins. That is inshallah. Talking for telephone, for example. Ya Shaykh Shafi, so it's a telephone in the Kaaba, around the Kaaba, you're talking in Tawaf. Allahu Akbar. Whatever Allah give it to you, whatever you feel it. You even by your language, Shaykh, because Allah is the one who teaches your language. But there is a certain dua, like I said, ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة بسم الله الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر he doesn't translate this because it's easy for the Muslim to say سبحان الله الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله all this certain دعاء say by Arabic but if you need ask Allah itself ask him for your language if you don't speak Arabic because the one who will teach you all language is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people that's why they buy this book and sometimes the brothers they know how they read Al-Quran and they open the book and they read it without understanding. You read it by Arabic without understanding and it's better for you to actually to pray by your language because it comes from your heart. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Yes.
That's their opinion, but they have no evidence of that, inshallah ta'ala. They have no evidence of that. Millions of Muslims all over the world. You know, remember Arab, how percentage the Arab compared to all the Hajj every year? If we have 5 million people, how many Arab among them? They don't even reach half a million of the Arab. You understand? Some people I meet them even in Saudi Arabia, he live in Mecca. And he's 70 years old. I told him, how many alhamdulillah every year you make a hajj? He said, I never perform a hajj one time. And he's 70 years living in Mecca. And he doesn't make even one single hajj. Allahu Akbar. Zulmu Allah, ya akhi. Operations. Subhanallah. He never perform one single hajj in his life. And he's 70 years and he lives in Mecca. So it doesn't matter actually, the Arab is that the sincerity are very, very, very important. It could be one very, very poor, come from Africa, and he doesn't know how he speak English, or how he speak Arabic, and he speak by his language. You want to tell me, his hajj is not going to accept it, his dua is not going to accept it, because he doesn't speak Arabic? It's impossible, ya akhi. Allah is the one who teaches your own language. Go ahead.
You only
speak Arabic,
one year you
are in
Islam?
No talbiyah in haram. No talbiyah in haram. Some people, we saw the talbiyah, لبيك اللهم لبيك 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 يا أخي اللهم لبيك. You say it in the street, you say it somewhere, but in the Haram Sharif there is no talbiya. Talbiya when you go in the destination. When you go from the hotel, in the time actually you're going for the Umrah or Hajj. In the day of Umrah, you go into Umrah, or in the day you go to day number 8, for example, you have to say the talbiyah. In Arafah, you have to say the talbiyah. But in Haram Sharif, it's Zikr and Quran and all this stuff, inshallah ta'ala. In after the Arafah, there's no any talbiyah. Talbiyah, it's mean to perform Hajj, because you already did Arafah, and the main day for Al-Hajj is day of what? Day of what? Arafah. The main day of Al-Hajj. And I would like to clear something here. We say, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat. Al-Hajj is a certain mountain. What is the month of Al-Hajj? Somebody tell me. The month of Al-Hajj. Allah, he put it in the Quran in a blurring. Al-Hajj ashhurun. Ashhurun means blurring of month. What is the month of Al-Hajj? You can make your niyyah to perform Umrah or to perform the Hajj. Which is that? Huh? لا. لا رجب شعبان. أشهر الحج. جزاك الله خير يا برادر الشافي. The حج of أشهر, it is the month of شوال. After Ramadan, there is the شوال. It is the month of ذو القعدة. It is up to the Hajj of the day number 10 of ذو الحجة. That's called أشهر الحج. The month of Al-Hajj, this glory. Meaning, I just travel after Ramadan. Or I travel to Ramadan and I perform Umrah at Ramadan. Some people, they stay from Ramadan until the Hajj. When they have to express their niyyah to perform Hajj and Umrah, in Shawwal, he could say, because he's saying, I combine his niyyah in the month of Shawwal. And they continue as the Mu'tabar to make the Umrah. When you could make the Umrah, you could make the Umrah for Al-Hajj in the month of Sha'ban. You could make the Umrah first in Dhul Qa'dah. In any time in Dhul Hijjah up to the Fajr, up to the day number 8, which is Yawm al-Tarawiyah. So, and you stay until the Hajj is coming to you. You understand? Somebody make Ifrad. What Ifrad is? It means to express his niyyah to perform Hajj only. Not Umrah. Hajj only. So what did he do? Can he make his niyyah in Shawwal after Ramadan? Yes, because this is the month of Hajj. But somebody enter Mecca and he express his niyyah in Ramadan for the Hajj. Can be accepted? No, you cannot make it in Ramadan. You start the niyyah for Hajj and Umrah in the month of Shawwal and Dhul Qa'dah until actually the 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. That is called the month of Al-Hajj. You could make your niyyah in any time in this month. Dhul Qa'dah, I mean Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and in Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days. That is the express niyyah. You cannot make niyyah before that at all. That is the month of Al-Hajj. Everybody must understand this, inshallah ta'ala. And anyway, Those brothers who stay with us until Asr, we have to discuss something else here. Because the Asr will be 2:15. We bring the Asr 2:15 here, inshallah ta'ala. Now, the next one, inshallah ta'ala. Next one. How about those who had turban? They wear turban or coffins in the Hajj. Remember, you are not allowed at all to wear anything in your head as a man if you express your niyyah for or you perform the Umrah or Hajj. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Inshallah ta'ala, if we have time, inshallah, we'll continue this topic. Inshallah, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept it from all of us. Inshallah, inshallah, subhanahu wa hamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. اللهم تقبل منا وافضل منا واجعلنا سببا من اهتدى يا رب العالمين. اللهم تقبل من حجاج بيتك الكريم. اللهم تقبل منهم اجمعين يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا اهلا لعبادتك يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعلنا اهلا لعبادتك وعلمنا بما علمت به كثير من خلقك واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه واختم لنا بخاتمة السعادة أجمعين. اللهم اعف عن سيئاتنا إنا كنا من الظالمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. اللهم ابن لنا مسجدنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اجعله خالصا لوجهك الكريم. اللهم ارحم أموات المسلمين أجمعين واقبضنا إليك سالمين يا أرحم الراحمين. وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير ولكم إن شاء الله. Thank you.